Walk lightly through this world. Jesus says, carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Well, when I left you last Sunday, my car was packed and I was ready to go camping up on Mount Baker. And if you look at the front of cover, that's my car. So, folks, you might say, sit down, Kate, you're not the one to be giving this sermon. And what I found was even interesting when I got there, I didn't have everything I needed. I did not know that it was the highest snow in 40 years on Mount Baker. And when you went up, you know how they clear the snow and it goes, it was way up high on both sides of the road. It was actually very beautiful. So how do we travel lightly? I never got that one totally down yet. Maybe you do, you can talk to me after. Again this Sunday, we are looking at sections of Luke's gospel where Jesus is drawing new disciples and he's training them to walk in peace. I mean, that's the object, peace. And Jesus is giving just a wee guidebook on how to be a disciple. And how many folks were there last week in the disciples? Do you remember in the gospel? Just a few. And now we have 70. Okay, whoa, what's this about? That's a lot of work in a week. So it's symbolic. Sometimes it said 70, sometimes it's 73, but it was the Jewish construct for the Gentile nations. They said there were 70 of these nations. So Luke is saying that the good news of Jesus, or Jesus is saying, it can't stop with the Jewish community. Boundaries are erased in the Gospels. They are not there. The followers of Jesus must go over what they assume are boundaries where they do not belong or the other does not belong in their space. Jesus is saying the disciples must take off their cloak of personal comfort. They need to walk into different cultures. Allow and invite different cultures in. Perhaps eat food that is a challenge. Relate to people who normally do not sit at their dining table. Some of the examples that Jesus uses in this passage, the local people would understand what he's talking about. Jesus says to eat everything that is given to you. Now, I remember taking, I think it was a group of 70 students to Europe, and they were all so, ugh, I don't want to eat that. Ooh, who would eat that? Eat that. So I said, come on, just have an adventure. These people are giving you hospitality. Eat what's given in, right before you, eat it. And then the next breakfast, all these kids are at the table, and the woman brings up a bowl of snails and puts it in front of me. Every kid was looking at me with a smirk that was, you know. Well, I tried, and sorry, Jesus, I didn't quite make it. Not snails for breakfast. So is Jesus actually saying here we have to finish our plate? Well, yes and no. I think the point is to let go of prejudices and place love above our own likes or dislikes. Concern about food laws was a high priority among the Jewish community. And what food is pure, what food is impure. And the same thing with Paul when we're reading this morning, circumcised or not circumcised. And Paul is saying, well, sometimes, you know, the people that are circumcised are worse off than the people that are not circumcised. He's saying, you know, it's what we do, not the rituals. So Jesus here is actually saying to break the purity code of food for the larger good of the community. Eat with everyone. Don't discriminate between, oh, this is Jewish food, this is Gentile food. Breaking bread, sharing activities of different foods, they're all part of building a relationship. And conversation, if we don't have conversation over a meal, it's pretty boring, isn't it? In my house, it meant we were really mad. I don't know, you know, we talk, we share. And so this is simple Middle Eastern hospitality. Hospitality, take that which is given to you and acknowledge it as a blessing. And this is where healing takes place. Healing takes place in the giving and taking between people, doesn't it? That it's the sharing. And I may have told you the story before, but I spent a period of time in Syria, and there's no words to describe summer in Syria. And the homes are, they're like a lane, and the homes are behind. You can't really see each other except through a small window. And over and over and over again, the window is in the door. That door would open, people would pull me in, throw a barrel, it seemed to me, of water over my head, put me in a chair, bring hot tea and food and hospitality. This was it. This is what Jesus is saying. You know, this is the part of the whole ethic of eating and sharing together. It's a spiritual tradition. The guest is the one who may be the divine one in our midst. And if people, this is an interesting passage, if people do not want to engage with you, what do you do? You know, I don't know, my family, my neighborhood, who do you talk to, who do you not? I mean, it's a mess right now in our country, isn't it? So who do you talk to? If someone doesn't hear the message, Jesus says, walk away. And maybe that's the best good news we have in the gospel this morning. We can have permission not to have a fight with our neighbor. We can walk away with dignity and gentleness. And then, I think Jesus was also saying that at times, you know, it just gets to a space where we just need to breathe. We need to take that moment and breathe. And it was a custom in this time that you did take the dust off your shoes, especially when you entered households. You know, in the Gospels, how many times do you have the washing of the feet? You're entering into a new space. So when the disciples returned to Jesus and their apprentices, well, they're pretty feeling pretty good about themselves. You know, they're happy. Arms and hearts had been open to them, and people were willing to listen to them. And I think, and as I said before, Jesus, whenever in the gospel, it's a dialogue. Jesus is not just talking like I am right now. You know, it was like, give me your ideas. So that is part of discipleship. So what about this Satan, snakes, and scorpions? What are we going to do with that? When Jesus uses the word Satan, in his culture, he would have used the word sata, which means to slide, to miss the mark, to go astray. How many times have we done that this week? You know, this is my goal. And Jesus says that he could see sata sliding from heaven, this bolt of light. The disciples, he's saying, good work. And then we have, oh, poor snakes. The snakes get a really bad rap. But in the Hebrew scripture, the snake was the personification of evil. So healing, what, you threw off the snake. And this was used literally in the Christian tradition in parts of this country even for a long time. My grandpa used to tell the story. He lived in the southern part of the Appalachian Hills down in Ohio, southern Ohio, and my family was Roman Catholic. But grandpa told me the story that when he was a young boy, there was a church that was much more enticing that was down the road. It was the Holy Roller Church. So he'd beg his mom, you know, I gotta go now. And he'd run down to see, prop himself and look in the windows, because the Holy Roller Church, what, they had snakes. And they used to dance with those snakes and pass them to one another and back and forth. And my grandfather said, you know, it was a lot more fun than St. Sylvester's Church. You know, snake handling in this gospel, I mean, people, I think, have taken it out of context when they're doing that. However, I think it is a way of overcoming fear. I mean, Jesus is saying here, get rid of your fears, get out of yourself, go. If you're going to be a disciple, do it. Go. Walk. Meet the other. Answer the doorbell. So I want to talk a little bit about the stuff. Jesus says, pretty much, walk with nothing, right? And our world is full of stuff. I'm trying to get rid of things in my house. I don't know about you guys. And I think we can learn to journey more simply, to be more dependent on the person that's next to us, that we don't have to have all the stuff with us personally. We can share. To learn to be a disciple who can actually share the stuff that we have. You know? Don't look at that picture of my car, all right? But I was trying to think when I was camping, well, when did I actually do this? Did I ever do it? And I had to say, yes, Kate, you did, so I want to tell you this. Because I bet you when you look back on your life, and I'd ask you to think about this, when is the time when you were living the gospel without a lot of things that were holding you down? I was living in New York City, and I had money, no money, zero, nothing. And this was a time in the 1980s when New York City opened this grand plan. If you saw a building and it was empty, you could squat in it. So here you are, Kate was a squatter. All right, and we took over this building. And I wanted to tell you about the people who were in that building. There was a cleaning lady from the local hospital. She was an older woman, and she had to work. And I don't know, she was just getting by. There was a starving artist, a Jewish man who survived the Holocaust, and he used to sing the Psalms every morning, which was so beautiful. That's how we started out our day. There was a young opera star who was dying of AIDS, and he asked us, even though it was against the law, would we walk with him, while his pastor told him, since the AIDS had gone to his brain, would we walk with him as he died? The community said yes. A woman who was having a hard time giving birth, and she asked everybody in the building to bring any plant they had, and we put it around her while she gave birth to this child. There was a family of five immigrants. There was a cross-dresser, and I remember my dad he came to visit, he couldn't figure it out, and he said, she is ever the most beautiful woman I've ever seen, and I'm like, yes, Dad, you know? There was a young woman with breast cancer. What is the point of this? We just happened to be sitting in this building and became a community. We became a community. We were not all Christians, but I don't think it matters. It's what we were doing. We were trying to repair the building together, and there were a lot of arguments. We tried to care for the sick. We tried to listen. We tried to share food. Truthfully, I saw Jesus living in that community. Perhaps I felt the presence more than in other parts of my life. So take your own walk. Try to figure out where in your life you have experienced that sort of divine love. That's discipleship. It seems to me we don't have to go around ringing doorbells and proclaiming Jesus as Lord to be a disciple. A true disciple learns to live in diversity and to find the Christ in the neighbor, to treat the neighbor as one would Jesus, to live simply, to share what one has, to be open to whatever is given, food, stories, empathy. And when we do this, Satha, what? Light, false, evil, for one moment, is dispersed in time. I share a story. There was once a little boy who wanted to meet God. He figured it would be a long journey, and so he filled his backpack with everything that he could, Twinkies and a six-pack of root beer. And then he set off. And when he had gone about three blocks, he met an old woman. And she was sitting there quietly just watching the pigeons. And so the boy sat down to her because she seemed to be a little sad. And then he started to get hungry and he remembered the Twinkies and he opened one and he thought, so he asked her if she would share the Twinkie. And this bright smile came on her face. And they spent some more time and then he remembered the root beer and, well, of course, would you like the root beer? And she smiled. And so they shared the root beer and they spent the afternoon kind of quietly just sitting there eating Twinkies, sharing the root beer. And then he said he had to go home. She said, okay, so she went home and he went home and went. He went in the door, his mom said, wow, you look like you had a really happy day. And he said, Mom, I met God. And when the woman went home, her son came to visit her and he said, I haven't seen you smile with such joy in a long time. She said, well, I met God. And you know what? He's a lot younger than I thought he would be. You know, the point is, I think, as a disciple, that we keep our eyes open to the moment and the time and the person that comes to us, or we go out to the person that we see. That's what Jesus is challenging us, right? To go out to. Not everybody's going to come to our door and ring the doorbell and say, oh, by the way, I'm hungry. Once in a while. But most of the time, we have to make the initiative. So I want to also share something that was kind of powerful for me yesterday. You know that some of us that are across the way, the big bridge, you know, the long bridge, that we live over there and we come to Grace because we love Grace. And we also know that we need to have our own community. So we meet now and again. And yesterday, we did something that we decided we wanted to share with you and ask you if you would think about doing it too. The 4th of July, I think some of us were, it's a complicated day, wasn't it? And so I read, and we all read together, our presiding bishop, Sean Rose. I would say it's an epistle that he sent to the community. Has anybody read it? See, the mainstream press is not talking about this, folks. It's in the Episcopal press. But you can find it. I checked last night, and if you go into Google and put Sean Rowe, R-O-W-E, and his message for July 4th, you will find it. And it is written to Episcopalians. And I found it extremely challenging, and I think those in the group, we found it challenging also, and we had a great discussion about it, and we're going to meet again because we haven't finished what we need to talk about. I'm going to read just one small section of it. It says, the Episcopal Church was once the Church of Presidents. There were more U.S. presidents from the Episcopal Church than any other body. He then says, the Episcopal Church must now be an engine of resistance. Let me say that again, an engine of resistance. And the reckoning, if we are honest, is long overdue. It is a very long epistle. And I found it extremely helpful to talk in community about it as one Episcopalian to a group of people who are trying to be disciples on the path, trying to work our way through this moment in history. So we as a group, all of us unanimously said, we would advise everyone in the room to open it up, read it, and find someone else in the community to talk about. It is a challenge to be a disciple these days and to have a leader who honestly presses us feet to the ground to really hear the word of Jesus in this time, in this place, was a wonder. Amen.